Van Halen once sang these words, "I want the best of both worlds, and honey, I know what it's worth." If we could have the best of both worlds, if we could have the best of both worlds, I get a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And while it's true that if we abide in the presence of Christ, there is a little bit of heaven that does come down to us, I'm pretty sure that this is not what Van Halen had in mind when they sang those words. But instead, what they had in mind was the earthly pleasure that one can receive as they live out this thing called life. Well, today I want to talk about life, about your life, about my life, about how we live our lives each day. And I want you to consider this question as we begin today, and is this: are you living in today? Are you living in today? And you may say, well, Pastor, of course we're living in today. I mean, everybody's living in today. That's all we can do is live in today. But what I mean by that is, how are you actually living today? To help us understand what I mean, I want to look at what living in today does not mean. There's a few things that it does not mean. Number one, living in today does not mean living for today. Many people live for today. You may meet people, greet people. Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, I'm living the dream. And the next question you need to ask them is, well, whose dream are you living? Are you living your dream, or are you living God's dream? Four letters that have been really popular over the past few years are the letters YOLO. YOLO, and some of you may be wondering, maybe you've seen it on a t-shirt or something, and maybe you're wondering what's that all about. Is that like a new candy? I mean, I've heard of Rolo. Maybe it's a new brand of shirt. I've heard of polo shirt. Maybe it's YOLO. Well, YOLO stands for, many of you know, right? You only live once. And so many people live by this motto. They say, well, hey, life is short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, so I'm just going to live it up today the best I can. I'm going to get all I can out of life, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. YOLO, you only live once. And while it's true that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, in fact, none of us are guaranteed even our next breath, that is true. This life is not all there is. There is something after this life. It's called the afterlife, right? And so a better t-shirt, which someone has actually come up with, you can purchase this. It says this, it says, YOLO, then comes the judgment. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. Let's look at that. It says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. And the writer of the Hebrews there would go on to say that just as Christ only suffered once to take away the sins of many, so too we die once, and then comes the judgment. And the point of that verse is this, is that we're accountable to God. We're accountable for how we live our lives. Our lives matter to God. The things we do, the things we say, the things we think on a daily basis, they matter to God. We need to keep that in mind. And yet, many people believe that this life is all there is, and so you had better experience all the fun you can now, all the pleasure you can, because tomorrow may never come. Well, let me ask you, do you find yourself living for today? Are you mainly concerned with how much earthly pleasure you can get out of this life? As we think about our lives and the day that we live in, there's so many idols out there, aren't they? These idols that pull at our heartstrings, that seek to draw us away from a walk with Christ and a close relationship with Christ. And one of those idols that is out there that many of us can bow to at times is the idol called fun. You may say, well, what are you, Pastor? Are you a stick in the mud? I mean, come on. I've seen you at Darien Lake. I've seen you riding those rides, and you sure like you look like you're having a little bit of fun. I've seen you golf. And if you have more fun by the more times you hit the ball, then you must be having tons of fun when you go golf. And I mean, you have fun in life. Well, no, I'm not saying that Christians should never have fun. But what I'm saying is that often our lives are simply the pursuit of one fun thing to the next fun thing. And it's all about the earthly pleasure we can get. And so in the process of pursuing the next fun thing, what often happens is we have no, quote, fun with God. We have no fellowship with God, no intimacy with God, no joy in God and with God on a daily basis. It's like Christ is standing outside the door of our hearts. And this is the picture we get in the book of Revelation, don't we? Revelation 3:20. Let's look at that. Jesus speaking to believers. He's speaking to a church here, and he says this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." The relentless pursuit of fun has a way of drowning out the voice of Christ, so that it's hard for us to hear him. It's hard for us to hear him knocking and saying, "Hey, I want to get to know you better. I want you to know me better. I want to fellowship with you. I want to dine with you. I want to sit down and spend some time with you." And yet you're you're spending too much time pursuing fun. You're looking for fun in all the wrong places. Again, fun is not necessarily evil in and of itself. Of course, it depends on what that fun is, obviously, but just having a good time is not necessarily evil. But if it replaces the joy that we ought to have in Christ, well, then we need to do some readjusting. There's some priorities that need to change in our lives if we find this happening in our lives. And so again, are you living for today? Only for those temporary pleasures that you may find, or are you living in today where Christ brings you great joy? So number one, living in today does not mean living for today. And number two, it does not mean living for tomorrow either. What do I mean? So many people spend each day thinking about tomorrow rather than what's actually going on today. How many remember the song, "Everybody's Working for the," come on Dennis, "weekend," right? Everybody's working for the weekend. This mindset, this motto that I'm just going to drudge through the week because the weekend's coming, right? So that I know I got to go to work, I got to go to this cursed thing called work, I got to pay the bills, but when I get paid and there's some money left over, then there's going to be some things that I can buy for me, some pleasures I can get. I can't wait for the weekend to come. This is the mindset of so many. Maybe even a little romance, as the song says. Well, what's wrong with this mindset? Well, number one, work, it's not a curse. Work is actually a good thing. Work can be a God-glorifying thing if we go in with the right mindset, the right attitude, the right heart, realizing that God has ordained this from the beginning. Now, certainly work is difficult. Since the fall, God cursed the ground, right? So there's these thorns and thistles that come up to make life miserable at times and difficult. Work can be difficult. Thorns can come not only in the form of briars, but maybe even difficult people who remind us of briars. That can happen. It can be difficult. But there is a sense in which we should work with today in mind and not just the weekend in mind. And number two, what's wrong with this thinking is there are no guarantees that the weekend is ever going to come. This is what the Bible teaches so clearly. Let's look at what James says in James 4:13 through 15, he says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." James speaks of all those things that we really hope to gain out of life, making money and having pleasure and enjoyment, all these things, the joys that the future can bring. But there are also, many of you may live in this kind of realm where there are fears about the future and what the future may bring. How many of you are consumed with things like the stock market and how your pension and 401k is doing? How many of you are consumed with the political climate of the day, whether it's nationally or globally, and you're just consumed by these things? Maybe you're consumed with possibilities of what may happen tomorrow, maybe in the form of a flood or a disaster, a meteorite hitting us, or maybe some sickness or ailment that may come to us. Maybe you're thinking about what might happen tomorrow. I emphasize that word might. Well, Jesus has a lot to say about how we should view tomorrow, doesn't he? Let's look at what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What was Jesus saying there? He was saying, don't live for tomorrow and don't even live in tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Don't worry about that. It hasn't even happened yet. He also says this in Matthew 6, 25 through 27. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" God does not want us to live each day in the what ifs. Ever live in the what ifs? You always wonder, well, what if this happens tomorrow? Or what if that happens tomorrow? Do you spend too much time thinking about what if? Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with thinking about tomorrow or even planning ahead. The Proverbs tell us that's a wise thing to do. A couple weeks ago, our VM reps, the Pullens, came in town, and so they, you know, we had to give them right dinner for the night and feed them breakfast, and Lydia had to clean her room, right, to make sure and get the bed all ready so they could stay in her room. And imagine if we had just waited till that morning to think about Helen, you might have been a little stressed, right? You might have been a little more stressed than normal. But anyway, if we would have run around like crazy that day, if we just waited till that day to plan all that out. So there's nothing wrong with thinking ahead or planning ahead. Nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is saying is, don't worry about the things that haven't happened yet. Because number one, they may not ever happen. And number two, we often have no control over those things that happen anyway. So live in today and not in tomorrow. Well, number three is, by living in today, we should not live in yesterday. How many of you have any regrets? How many of you can look back on your life and say, you know, I wish I hadn't have done that or hadn't have said that? It's natural, isn't it, as humans, to think that way. As I think back on my life, and whether it's as a dad and some of the silly things I say, right? Lydia, like yesterday. But some of the things that I can say that maybe, you know, I shouldn't have said them the way I did. And maybe as a husband, some things that I did or didn't do. As a child growing up, I think all those things, man, I wish I could have a redo on some of the things that I did in my past. As a pastor for the past 16 years, I can think of lots of things that, man, I wish I had said this or didn't say that. I wish I had did this or didn't do that. As a friend, there's many things that I wish I could just go back and redo some things. And maybe you feel the same way. And that's natural because, after all, we're all sinners, aren't we? None of us make perfect decisions every day of our lives, and so we often have these regrets. We wish we could change some things. But you know, God doesn't want us to live in the past. Very clear that this is not what he wants for us as believers. Let me ask you, are you paralyzed by your past? Are you paralyzed by your past? If so, why? Because if you're a believer, here's how God wants you to live today. Let's look at what the Word of God tells us. Beautiful passage in Romans chapter 4, 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul here is quoting from Psalm 32, and he says this, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or woman there whose sin the Lord will never," if your Bible is open to this, underline that word never, "never count against him." What an awesome promise. What an awesome passage we have here. We're told elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, that as far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed our transgressions from us. We're told by the prophet Micah that God has hurled our sins or hurled our iniquities into the depths of the sea. And the picture there is that they're totally gone. They've been removed from us. We have complete forgiveness in Christ, and there is now no condemnation for you who are in Christ. And this is how we need to live today, in today, with this mindset that I'm forgiven. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you have said this, "Well, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself." That has a humble ring to it, but when you dissect it, it's actually a very arrogant, self-centered thing to say. And why is that? Well, first off, it's never commanded in the Bible. Do you know that? There's no verse in the Bible that says forgive yourself. What's the Bible say about forgiveness? You know the Lord's Prayer, right? First, it's forgive me from my sins. God, those sins that I've committed against you, my trespasses, my debts. Forgive me for those sins. And then secondly, what? Forgive others. Forgive those who've sinned against me. This is where forgiveness really needs to be displayed. So really, we're making up a law that isn't even in the Bible, and we're actually putting our thoughts above God's thoughts when we speak like that. We're saying that what I think about myself is more important than what God thinks of me. Because God has said, if we're in Christ, you're forgiven. And when we say, I can't forgive that, or I can't, what we're saying is, I can't believe you, God. I can't believe that that's what you say, that's the position, that's who I am. I'm completely forgiven. I'm not going to believe that. So maybe I'll do some things to help in this forgiveness process. Now realize that we all have different backgrounds. Our sins may vary. And some of us may have these big-time sins that just keep coming back at our minds and into our heads. That may happen. But God wants us to know that we've been forgiven. God does not want us to live in yesterday with regrets. God wants us to move forward, as you heard in our scripture reading today. To have the mindset of the Apostle Paul, who could say this. Now think about it. Paul was once a persecutor of the church. And he said this, "One thing I do is I forget those things that are behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal, the upward call of God in Christ." Paul knew his eventual destination was heaven. That's what his mind was on, not on his past. And so Paul said, "I forget those things that are behind me." And when Paul says, "I forget," he's not saying this. He's not saying that I have the ability to forget what I've done in the past. Nor will I never, ever mention those things that I did in the past. That's not what he means by forget. Because Paul would actually say, for example, to Timothy, "Timothy, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church." But when Paul thought about his past sins, what did it cause him to do? Think about the great, great mercy of God. Think about the grace of God. And when Paul thought about the grace and the mercy of God, that propelled him to move forward in the Christian race. That's what he means by putting those things behind, forgetting those things that are behind. I'm not going to dwell on these things. These things aren't going to define me anymore because I'm a new creation in Christ. So what does it mean to live in today? Well, there's many things, but one thing I want you to keep in mind today is this. It means to have a "this is the day" mentality. This is the day mentality. This is the day God has given me. And I will enjoy Him today. I will live for Him today. I will seek to deny myself. As I do battle against the three enemies that we looked at over the past few weeks, this world, the devil and his demons, and our own sinful nature, our own flesh. That's how I'm going to live in today. A popular verse, our final verse for today, many of you know it by heart, but it's Psalm 118, 24. Johnny knows this one by heart, I know that, right? It is, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What does it mean to live in today? Well, it means realizing that we only have today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, and yesterday is gone. And so we ought to rejoice in this day. We ought to be glad in this day. Let me ask you, is joy something that exudes from your heart and from your soul on a daily basis? I realize that we're all going to have times of sorrow, aren't we? The book of Ecclesiastes talks about a time to weep and a time to dance. The Apostle Paul would say this, "I'm sorrowful," but he'd go on to say, "but yet I'm always rejoicing." Paul could have joy in the midst of his sorrow, but we have to ask ourselves this question as Christians, and that is this: do we look any different from the world when it comes to our joy? Because the world can... they can rejoice, can't they, when things are going well, when finances are doing really well, when the job is going well, and when the kids are successful in school and in sports, when their health is good, no aches and pains. Hey, the world can rejoice in those kind of circumstances, can't they? But as believers, we're called to rejoice what? In everything, in all circumstances, to give thanks, to rejoice in the Lord always, to be glad in this day, because this is the day the Lord has made. Let me ask you, when those things come upon your life, when things don't go as planned, when maybe the kids struggle in certain areas, maybe when sickness comes to you or pain comes to you, does joy go out the window, or does that joy remain? Does that joy abide? Can you still say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it"? As believers, if we truly live in today, if we can focus on who God is, if we can rest in his promises and not on our present circumstances, then joy will be a constant, constant part of our lives. And we will be living in today. If you had to summarize what it means to live in today, I would take the words of the Apostle Paul, who once said this: for me, to live is what? Is Christ. To me, to live is Christ. My life is going to be about Christ, and he's going to give me joy. Are you living in today? And finally, do you have life? I know you all have physical life, but do you have a life that truly does rejoice in God? Do you have a life that says, yes, I know I've been forgiven because of what Christ has done for me? Do you have life? The Apostle John would put it this way, and this is the testimony. God has given us life. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Black and white. Is the Son of God in you? Is Christ in your life? If he is, then you have life, everlasting life, and abundant life right here. But if Christ is not there, then God would say, you really don't have life because you don't know me. If you don't know Christ today, then I would urge you to turn to Jesus. Trust in him as the one who bore your sins upon the cross to set you free and forgive you, to bear your punishment, to take your place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of life. And true life is really found in you. And Lord, forgive us for pursuing all the things of this world at times instead of just having a relationship with you. Lord, we tend to fill up our time, we tend to fill up our calendars with all these things that oftentimes will amount to nothing. And so, Lord, help us to just fill up our time with you. Lord, I pray that each of us would not live for today or for tomorrow or in tomorrow or in yesterday, but that we would live in today because you are Lord of this day and we know the Lord of this day. Lord, help us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.